Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 57. The name of tonight's message is called The Danger of Distance. The danger of distance. Look at your neighbor and help me preach and tell him there's danger in distance. We live in a world right now that is being defined by social distance. Everything that we're doing is, we're in a world today that is just consumed and obsessed with distance. And I want you to hear this word, Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 57. Then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of religious law and the elders had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. That's all I want to read to you right there from the Gospel of Matthew. In order to understand this verse, I got to paint the picture just a little bit clearer for you. Jesus Christ has performed 3 years of his miracle working ministry on earth. He has done great and mighty things. He has given hope to the hopeless, restored sight to the blind. He's performed the miraculous, and there is a buzz, there is a stir about his ministry all throughout the region. Everybody, for the most part, loved him, except for just a few religious elite known as the Pharisees. And they despised Jesus. They hated him. They rejected everything about him because Jesus was a threat to their power. Jesus was a threat to their way of life. And where we pick up here in Matthew 26, they have constructed a case against Christ. And they marched in the cover of darkness to the Garden of Gethsemane with the temple guard and the leading priests. And they arrest Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This blameless man is put in shackles and chains. And he's led out of the Garden of Gethsemane directly into the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. As Jesus is in the house of the high priest, we believe that he was beaten, that even the first drops of blood began to be spilled by Christ. They were enraged by him. They were furious at Christ because he claimed to be the Son of God, the image of the invisible God. And the moments that would follow this arrest would come his crucifixion, and he would be hung like a criminal on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth. And when Jesus could have used the help and the love and the support of his disciples in this moment, they all scatter like sheep going astray. And the Bible says in Christ's most critical hour, as he's led off in shackles and chains to the priest's house, the Bible says that Peter followed at a distance. Now, that may seem like an ordinary text to you, but there is so much significance right there in those few words, that Peter followed at a distance. You see, this is the picture of many Christians today. They follow Jesus and they're close enough to Jesus to be called a Christian. But they're far enough away that they can live like the world. They're close enough to Jesus that they can be considered a disciple, but far enough away that nobody can ever hold them accountable. Peter, following at a distance, he longed to catch a glimpse of what they were going to do to Christ. He was following at a distance so that he could watch because his allegiance was to Christ. He loved him. But deep within his heart, he was overcome by fear of being guilty by association. He didn't want the people and the temple guard to recognize him as a disciple for fear that he would also be put in chains and be brought before the judge himself. I believe that this is a picture of many believers in the world today, that we follow Jesus, yes, but only from a distance. We follow Jesus because we want the benefits of faith. We follow Jesus because we want to be forgiven of our sin. But we live far enough away that we can still be our own Lord, so that we can still live how we want to live. Peter was close enough, but far enough away to live like the world. I want you to know that in this picture, right here in Matthew 26, Peter fit in both crowds. He technically fit in with the church folk. He technically fit in as a disciple, but he also fit in with the world. When the people outside of Caiaphas's house asked, "Hey, aren't you one of those disciples?" Peter's like, "Wait, who me? You gotta be talking about somebody else. I don't know that man." He followed him from a distance. And I would warn you tonight that many who claim to follow Jesus do not actually follow him at all. We want the benefits of everything that come with Christianity, but we want to live our own way and we want to fit in both places. We want to be accepted at church. We want to be loved and well thought of at church. But then we also have our other friends and our other life and we're playing both sides of the fence. Yes, we say we follow Jesus, but only at a distance because we're comfortable in both camps. We're comfortable in the world, talking like the world, acting like the world, drinking like the world, partying like the world. We're okay over here. And we're okay over here. But the truth is, you're following at a distance is not following Jesus at all. And as you can tell, we're not off to a seeker-friendly sermon again at Vision Church tonight. But I believe with everything inside of me, I may not have any friends by the time I'm done tonight, but I am gonna stand before you having delivered and declared the word of the living God in this place. Everybody wants a savior, nobody wants a Lord. Everybody wants to be forgiven, nobody wants to be told how to live. Everybody wants to do their own thing, and nobody wants to follow at the foot of the cross. Jesus said, "If you really want to be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow after me." It was not rainbows and butterflies for Jesus. He was telling you, you need to count the cost. It's going to cost you something. You see, Peter, he wanted to be close enough to Jesus that he saw what happened, but he wanted to be far enough away that it didn't affect his reputation. And there are many people with this mindset today. They think, yeah, I'll be a Christian so long as I don't have to change too much. You know what I mean? I'll follow Jesus just so long as I don't have to give up too much. Yeah, I'll follow Jesus as long as it's convenient. I'll follow his word so long as I agree with it. But do you know what happens when you disagree with the Bible? You're wrong. That is supposed to be a little funny, please at least give me a pity laugh, at least. If you and the Bible disagree, congratulations, you are wrong. Okay, and I know I'm heavy and intense right now, but this is the word. People are okay with following Jesus just so long as they don't have to change. They're okay with following Jesus just so long as they don't have to live different. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is that you would be born again, that your life would change, your mindset will change, your speech should change, your decisions should change. When you fall in love with Jesus, he changes the way you live. And when you recognize what a great and high price he paid to save and redeem you, it is the natural recourse for you to say, I will give you my life, I will follow you. After all, it belonged to you anyway. Today, many people claim to be a Christian, but they're only actually following Jesus so long as it's comfortable and so long as it's convenient. This is what we would call American Christianity. Salvation is free. It is a free gift to any one of you who would repent and call on his name. Salvation is free, but following Jesus may cost you dearly. Following Jesus may mean that you have to give up some friendships. Following Jesus may mean you have to change the way you do business. Following Jesus means that you might have to end some relationships that don't belong in your life. You see, when you say yes to Jesus, you die to yourself and you say no to this world. I'm gonna give you a little illustration real quick. Imagine the Titanic for a second, all right? Imagine being on the Titanic, all right? And y'all hit an iceberg, it's like code red, the lights are flashing, this thing is about to sink, and lifeboats are being launched into the water, and someone is compelling you to come onto a lifeboat. Come on, you gotta get in this. But they don't wanna leave the comfort of the ship. The picture would be like someone on the deck of the Titanic. This thing is sinking. The lifeboats are launching. People are frantically urging them to jump in, but they're saying, well, you know, you see, like I would get in that lifeboat, but like my cabin is so sweet. I have the presidential suite on level 4. It's so nice and plush and bougie. I love it. Like that lifeboat, I hear you, but it looks uncomfortable. It looks a little dangerous out there. The waves be crashing and stuff. So I'm gonna go ahead and stay where I'm at because I'm accustomed to these conveniences. All the while, that ship is sinking and you just passed up the chance to live because it was uncomfortable, it was risky, and it was dangerous. And that is the picture of your spiritual life today. If you cling to your life, you will surely lose it. But if you abandon your life, if you abandon your plans and you give yourself over to Christ, it may be uncomfortable, it might be unfamiliar, it might be a little risky, it might be dangerous, it might be dark and cold, but there is where you will find life. Jesus said, any one of you who clings to his life, you will lose it, but any one of you who gives up your life for my sake, you will surely find it in life eternal. Following Jesus is uncomfortable. It is risky. It is dangerous. Jesus warned you that this world will hate you if you look like me, if you follow me, if you think like I think and you speak like I speak, the world will despise you. But let me tell you, friend, the lifeboat is worth it. Jump, leave the comforts of this world behind you because it is all sinking anyway. You see, it's impossible for you to play around with the world and also follow Jesus closely. If you're gonna follow Jesus closely, you've gotta let the Titanic sink. You've got to let your past go if you want to follow Jesus closely. Now listen, I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about the danger of distance. And distance is created between you and the Father when we are drawn away by our own lusts. For too long, we've been giving the devil way too much credit. We're like, well, you know, the devil tempted me. You know, the devil, you know, that pop-up came on my computer. You know, it's the devil. It's not the devil. The word of God says that you and I have been drawn away from the way of God. We've been drawn off of his path by our own lust and by our own desires and by our own selfishness. It's not the devil drawing you away from the Lord. Yeah, he would like to, but you're drawn away by your own desires. Isaiah says it this way, we are all like sheep who have abandoned his path to follow our own. Proverbs says there's a way before every one of you that seems to be right, but it ends in death. I'm gonna give you a few examples and help bring it home to you tonight about why we follow from a distance. There's a distance between you and God tonight because you have been drawn away by your own desires. Example number one, you started dating a new girl. You started dating a new guy. This is the number one on my list because I see it all the time. You've been faithful at church. You've been showing up to Connect Group. You've been contributing to the conversation. You've been praying for other people. You've been volunteering. You've been drawing close to Jesus up until you met that new girl, up till you met that new guy. And now all of a sudden, we don't see you no more. You've been gone for so long, we don't even remember your name. There's nothing that will draw you off the path of Christ like the wrong relationship. And I don't know when Christians are finally gonna figure this out, but Christians should not date or marry unbelievers. Call me old school, call me archaic, tell me to go back to West Virginia, whatever you need to say, I'm still right. The living don't date the dead. Samson and Solomon, Samson was the strongest man to ever live. Samson was the wisest. Both of them ignored this advice and married a foreign woman. And guess what happened, homie? They didn't even just follow at a distance. They fell off completely. Marrying a foreign woman, it's not talking about her ethnicity. So stop with that. It means she's foreign to your God. You went and got into a relationship with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Let me help bring it home to you why that's dangerous. Because they don't see the world the same way you see it. Their outlook on life is completely different from yours. Their values, their morals, their fundamental basic beliefs on how you raise children, how you spend money, how you live your life. Their life mission is governed by an entirely different metric system than yours. The word is not telling you don't date an unbeliever to be cruel and laugh so God can be like, you like her? Ha ha, can't have her. What? No, God's got something better for you. God's got someone that is tailor-made for you. God's got a promise for you. You don't have to make it happen on your own. Trust in him. Oh, but nothing will cause you to follow at a distance like the wrong relationship. Another example is a new career. Pastor T, I got a promotion. I got a new title. I got a new job. So I can't come to church no more. Can't go to church no more. But I got a promotion. I'm gonna be real with you tonight, all right? And I may not have any friends. I already warned you. I may not have any friends when I'm done. And you may never come back. I hope you do. But at least you'll have heard the truth while you were here. Fair enough? I hear so many people tell me, Pastor, I can't come to church on Sundays because I work on Sundays. I'm gonna help you real quick with this. It's one thing for you to work on Sundays for a season. And I get that, right? There's sometimes things happen. But when that season becomes indefinitely, now that's on you. You say, oh, that's not fair. I'm gonna talk to you. When I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina about 12 years ago, I was poor. I'm from West Virginia. My family's not poor, I was. They were like, you're not taking any money. I had $700, they're like, you're gonna make it happen. I came to plant a church, which if you wanna get rich, don't become a pastor. And if you do get rich being a pastor, you're doing it wrong. Whole nother sermon. Anyway, I came to plant a church. I didn't have any money, so when you don't have any money, you go get a job. My first job was at Sprint Customer Service. It was down in Steel Creek, and this office was the mothership of customer service. This thing was open 24/7, 7 days a week, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's. It was always open, like 7-Eleven. In my entrance interview, I said to them this, I needed the job. I really needed it. Because I was poor and I was like 21. I was like, I really need this job. And I'm gonna work for you. I'm gonna hustle. I'm gonna give you my best. But I wanna tell you right now, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I serve the Lord. And I am not gonna work on Sunday morning because my Sunday morning belongs to the Lord. Guess what happened? I got the job and I got off on Sundays. You're welcome. So don't tell me that it can't happen. It can happen. Tell your employer you're like Kanye and Chick-fil-A. We're both closed on Sunday. At least a pity laugh, y'all. Come on. I got this heavy word and I'm trying to lighten it up a little bit. But you should say, I'm closed on Sunday. Because I'm done following Jesus from a distance. And do you know what he calls the church? His body, his bride. So you disconnect from the church, you're disconnecting from the body. I'll let you think about that for a minute. All right, lost my place. Now I got so hyped up in here. The next one is children. Your children. Distance is created between us and Jesus when we are drawn away by our own desires. I'm gonna put it to you like this. You have to be very careful, parents. No, I do not have experience. I'm about to in a few months. By the way, we're having a baby boy in January. Come on, somebody. Woo! I'm hyped about that. I'm about to just punt something. I'm so excited. I don't have experience. Some people be like, I'm not listening to that preacher. He not experienced. Okay, well, I may not have raised a kid, but I know the word, so I'm gonna help you. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. If you can take your child to Home Depot, to Walmart, to Target, but you can't come to church, something's wrong, homie. It's like, did he really say that? Yes, he said that. And I'm just getting started too. Don't let your children be an excuse that keeps you away from the house of God and away from the fellowship of the saints, because the Lord wants you. Do not forsake the assembly of my people. I get it. When you first have a baby, take some time, heal up, do that. I get that. But after a certain point, when you can take baby to Chick-fil-A, you can take Chick-fil-A still closed. You can take them. You get it. When you take them to Target, you can take them to church. Look at your neighbor with a little attitude and tell them if you can take them to Target, you can bring them to church. You're like, I'm never coming back. The next way that we follow at a distance is we're drawn away by the enticement of entertainment. The lake, Panther season, it's getting super quiet right now, so almost awkward. and vacations, plural. Listen, there's nothing wrong with football, glory to God. There's nothing wrong with the lake, also glory to God. And there is nothing wrong with a vacation. But whenever your lifestyle keeps you away from the people of God, from the word of God, from the house of God, Houston, we have a problem. Do not allow your desires to cause you to go off course and end up one day following Jesus at a distance. You say, preacher, why are you making such a big deal about it? I'm gonna tell you why. You ready? Everybody in the room, lean into this. Peter started with a distance between he and Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that distance led to him denying Christ three times in his most critical hour. What started with distance ended in denial. You may think it's no big deal to skip out on the house of God. You may think it's no big deal to just go do your own thing. But over time, that distance grows. And the longer that distance goes, the harder it is for you to find your way back. And ultimately, after distance has carried you a long way from Jesus, you end up making the same mistake that Peter made, and that is you result to denying him in the most critical hour of your life. God is faithful. He is our example. We ought to be faithful too, and nothing should keep us separate from the house of the Lord. Come on, somebody, and give him praise if you believe the words coming out of my mouth tonight. And I'm just gonna slide this in real quick for free. You schedule your entire year around those vacations. Well, I wanna challenge you, start scheduling your week around Sunday at church. Start making church the priority, not the afterthought, and watch God show up and move in your life. I've never heard one person say, well, I went to church today, and man, I wish I wouldn't have gone. I never heard anybody say, well, I prayed today, I read the word of God today, shouldn't have done that. I've never heard anybody say, I raised my children in the house of the Lord. What was I thinking? Those are things you never hear people say, because you will never regret being faithful to the kingdom of God Most High. Levi Smith, where you at, brother? My guy right there. There he is. You know what I love this man right here? Can I tell on you for a second? I don't normally do this, but I don't even care. I love this man. That man right there is a faithful man. He serves the Lord the best that he can. He's not perfect, but he loves the Lord. He does not have faithful transportation to this church or Metro School. But you know what? I see him every single Sunday. You know why? Because he'll do whatever it takes to get here, because he schedules his week around the house of the Lord. He may have to take one bus, two buses. He may have to ride with somebody else, but he schedules his week around the house of the Lord. And I want to say to you, brother, I see you, the Lord sees you, and glory to God, you're an example for all of us. I love you. Hear me. I'm not trying to shame you, because y'all are the good ones. You're here. But I'm warning you, don't let distance come between you and Jesus. Don't let distance come between you and the house of the Lord. It's time to close the distance. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's time to close the distance. Like three of you did that. And I'm just gonna go here while I'm here. COVID-19, we're socially distant. I'm gonna tell you something right now. And you're gonna have to just, I don't even mind. I probably already offended everyone in here by now anyway. I believe that the enemy is using this illness in a demonic attack against the kingdom of God. People are afraid to come to the house of God. People are afraid to pray together. People are afraid to hold hands, to shake hands. People are afraid of coming down to the altar because they might get sick. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm done being distant from God over COVID-19. I'm done living in fear. I'm done being a hostage. I'm done with that, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the word of God tells us this. The word commands us, do not forsake the assembly of my people. There's not an asterisk that says, unless there is a global pandemic. Just look for yourself. There's no asterisk. We are not given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I will not walk in fear. We are not of them who draw back. We know who our Lord is, and we know that fear is not of God. Perfect love drives out all fear. You seriously afraid of catching COVID at church? If you catch it at church, he can heal you. I'm not saying to not be wise. I'm not telling you to don't be wise. I mean, look, we taped off every other row. Look, we got you socially. We're trying to be wise and respectful. But the days of being fearful are over. And it's time to stop the distance. It's time to come back to Jesus. Don't let COVID keep you apart from Christ any longer. All right, lost my place. It's time that we put God first. First in our life, first in our family, first in our finances. It's time that we put God first. That's where he belongs. That's where he desires to be. We must stop giving God what is left over. We gotta stop giving God what's left over of our time. We gotta stop giving God what's left over of our resources, giving God what's left over of our attention. He is first, and he deserves to be first in your life. I'm tired of talking about how much I love Jesus, and I'm ready to show it and demonstrate it by the way I live my life. Like, the preacher's angry today. No, I'm not angry. This is just how I'm. I'm hyped up. We become distant from Jesus Christ because we're drawn away by our own desires. We're also drawn away from God because of a lack of communication. Distance is a communication issue. I pray to God that you hear what I'm about to say to you tonight. This is no ordinary Sunday. Like, the Lord is speaking to you. Let everyone who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. There may be distance in your life because of a communication problem. I'm gonna give you an example. I'm married to this beautiful woman right here, Christina. Hello, Christina. Say hello to Christina, my lovely wife. Love you. If I stop talking to her, if she stops talking to me, if I stop sharing with her how my day is, if I stop listening to her about how God is working in her life and what's going on in her world, if we stop communicating, distance will ensue. Now, physically, we may be in the same house, and physically, we may be in the same car riding down the road. But if communication breaks down, distance is the result. The same is true in your relationship with God. If you stop communicating with God, you stop praying, you stop worshiping, you stop reading his word, you stop being faithful to the house of God, if you stop communicating with your creator, distance is created. And all of a sudden, you feel like God is so far. It's not God who left you. He's the one who sticks closer than a brother. He never leaves you or forsakes you. It is not God who left us. It is us who abandoned him. Let's close the distance, church. Let's commune with him. Let's read his word. Let's pray. Let's be faithful to the house of the Lord. Let's be faithful to connect groups. Let's put God first in our life. Let us put him in his rightful place and watch the distance close. I'm not gonna preach forever tonight, but the reason that I'm warning you about this is because the distance leads to denial. Look at your neighbor with a little attitude and tell him the distance leads to denial. I want to tell you a theological concept that is very simple yet profound. Your spiritual appetite is the exact opposite of your physical appetite. Your physical appetite, the longer you go without eating, the hungrier you get, and you start getting hangry and acting crazy. I haven't eaten since 8:30 this morning, that is true, and I'm feeling hangry right now. So if the sermon's a little rough, now you know why. Physically, the longer you go without eating, the hungrier you get. But spiritually, the opposite is true. The longer you go without worshiping Him, the less you want to. The longer you go without reading the Bible, the less you want to. The more time you go without praying and attending church, the less you want to. Be aware. But hey, the opposite is also true. The more you pray, the more you read the word, the more you worship, the more you want to. The more you draw close to Him, the more you want to. So keep that fire ablaze inside of you. I want to show you another powerful text here. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. John chapter 18, verse 15. Turn with me quickly because I'm running out of time. Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. That other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, "Are you not one of that man's disciples?" "No," he said, "I am not." Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards made a charcoal fire, and they stood around it warming themselves, and Peter stood with them warming himself. Your distance will one day lead to denial. And you may be hearing this sermon today and you say, "Well, preacher, I would never deny Jesus. I would never deny my faith in Him." And that may be true audibly. You may never renounce Jesus verbally, but you denounce Him and you deny Him with your life, with your decision, with your blatant, willful sin, with your sinful lifestyle, with your actions, you have denied Him. You see, Peter didn't all of a sudden spontaneously go, "I don't know Him." Peter went from being the boldest, most zealous disciple Christ had to being the one that goes, "I don't know Him. That guy, never seen Him before." What I need you to see tonight, church, is that did not happen in a moment. That did not happen in an instant. It happened over a prolonged period of time as Peter allowed distance to exist between him and Christ. And the longer and the greater that chasm of distance, the greater and the longer that compromise, the greater and the longer that you go without communication to Him, the more natural it becomes to deny Him with your actions and with your life. There's danger in being too distant because it leads us to denial. And you gotta see this because this is phenomenal. This is so powerful. Are y'all okay with time? Are y'all doing okay? Is this helping anybody tonight? Because the Bible is so rich here, you've gotta see it. The Bible says that Peter followed from a distance, Peter denied Jesus Christ, and then the Bible says that he warmed himself by the enemy's flame. He was standing in the courtyard of Caiaphas with the temple guards who had just arrested Christ. Now Peter is warming, soothing his flesh around the enemy's fire. The lesson here is this. When you allow the passion and the fire of God to die in your heart, when the fire inside of you dwindles, you'll look to external sources to warm your soul again. Don't follow Jesus from a distance. Don't let the fire burn out of your soul. Don't fall out of love with Jesus. Keep the flames of revival stoked. Fan the flames of passion inside of your soul again. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And may we return to our first love. Don't let the fire die inside of you. If you do, you'll run to sex, you'll run to pornography, you'll run to substance abuse, you'll run to deception, you will run to the external flames of the enemy. You'll find yourself surrounded by the wrong crowd, warming yourself by the enemy's fire. And hear me, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin, oh, but for a season. Peter may have warmed his flesh at the enemy's fire, oh, but that comfort lasts for just a moment, and then the cold world comes crashing in around him again. You might find comfort in your sin, but it won't last long. Run back to Jesus. He is the source that never runs dry. By the way, distance, something about your spiritual position, is that you are never spiritually neutral. I know your car has neutral as a gear, the in, right? Has neutral. Your spirit doesn't have that. You're either drawing closer to Jesus or you're being drawn further away from him. Always, it's fluid. You are either, right now as I'm preaching this sermon to you tonight, you are either drawing closer to Jesus Christ or you're being pulled further and further away from him by the tides of this world, by your own cares and distractions, and by your own lack of communication to the Father. Now turn with me to John chapter 21, verse 3. I'm gonna read one sentence. And when I read it, you're gonna have no idea what I'm talking about, but just hang on. One more thing I gotta show you. That comfort that you find from the enemy's flame, it may comfort you today, but it will engulf you tomorrow. That was just too good for me to not tell you that. The sin that soothes your flesh today will destroy you one day. Every sin that's done in darkness will eventually come to light. You may think nobody sees it, nobody hears it, nobody notices, but that flame that warms you now will destroy you eventually. John 21, 3, Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." So I want to read. You're like, why are you pointing that out? Because before Peter became a disciple, he was a fisherman. And in Luke chapter 5, it's on the shores of Galilee that Jesus gives Peter the initial invitation to come, drop the nets, and be a disciple. So catch the timeline. Peter's a fisherman. He meets Jesus. Jesus invites him to be a disciple. Peter drops the nets to follow after Jesus for 3 years. He follows him everywhere he goes in his ministry. Peter ultimately allows distance to exist between him and Christ. He ultimately denies Jesus at his most critical hour. He warms himself by the enemy's flame. Shortly thereafter, his Savior is nailed to a rugged cross, dies like a criminal, suspended between heaven and earth, and he's put in a rich man's tomb. Peter feels hopelessly lost. The distance that he allowed to exist is now haunting him. And so what does he do? Peter goes back to his old life. He goes back to fishing. He goes back to running with the same old crowd. doing the same old thing he was doing before Christ. The Bible's trying to show you something. If you allow distance to take place between you and God, ultimately you will deny him. Then you will find yourself being comforted by the enemy's flames of sin. And if you stay there long enough, you'll end up backsliding all the way back to where you were before Christ came into your life. That's what the Bible is showing you. But I need you to hear me tonight. What I'm about to tell you is absolutely beautiful. While Peter was denying Jesus Christ at the court of Caiaphas, while Peter was warming his flesh around the enemy's camp, simultaneously, in the other room, Jesus Christ is chained and beaten, and drops of blood are beginning to spill for his salvation. You see, this is the picture of you and I. We've all denied Jesus with our life. We've all sinned and left his path for our own. We've all allowed distance to exist between us and God. But while we were dead in our sin, God was rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that his one and only son died in our place while we were yet sinful and undeserving. Literally, in the moments that Peter is denying Christ, Christ is giving his life a ransom for the world. Christ loves you in spite of your distance. He pursues you in spite of your weakness. And even though we were dead and lost in our sin, he paid the ultimate price for you and for me, for our salvation. Anybody thankful he didn't wait till we were good enough? Anybody thankful he didn't wait till we were deserving? He paid the price while we were still in our sin. Hallelujah. Now listen, I've got to read you one more verse here. Look with me in closing tonight, John chapter 21, verses 3 through 7. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out to the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the other disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. So then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped to work, and jumped into the water and headed to shore. I want you to know tonight that you can never outrun God. And your distance has not disqualified you from being used in his kingdom. The beauty of this text, because I really do pray you lean into this. The beauty of this text is that Jesus shows up, because this story may sound familiar to you, right? If you've been to church, it sounds familiar. That's because this miracle happened twice. The first time it's recorded in Luke 5, Jesus shows up on the shores of Galilee and he tells these fishermen, "Throw your net out on the other side." And that was when Peter was initially called into the ministry. And then you know the story. Peter goes back to his old life. He's fishing again with his old friends. And Jesus shows up in the exact same place, in the exact same way, and performs the exact same miracle again in the Gospel of John to say to Peter, I'm resetting my invitation. I'm pursuing you and I'm giving you a second chance. I'm giving you another opportunity. You may have denied me, you may have failed me, you may have left me when I needed you, but I am the God of the second chance. And I'm showing up on the shores of Galilee yet again to extend with loving arms wide open. Come and walk with me again. Come and follow me yet again. This is Jesus in his resurrected state. He says, come and follow me again. You see it? Jesus gave him a second chance. Anybody thankful for the God of the second chance? And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. And when it looked like it was over for Peter, his best days were still ahead of him. Hear me, church. He denied Jesus. He allowed distance to exist. But Peter's best days were yet to come. Because it was after this moment that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people repented and gave their life to Jesus Christ. It was after this moment that Peter was walking into the temple and the lame man said, please spare me some money, some silver and gold. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I will give unto thee. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. His best days were still ahead of him. And your best days are still ahead of you. You may have allowed distance to exist between you and Christ. You may have denied him with your life and with your actions, but Christ is coming to you tonight, just like he came to Peter again on the shores of Galilee, standing with arms wide open, saying, come to me again. All you who weary and are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me just as you are. Failures, brokenness in all, and I will receive you the way I received you the day I first called you my own. Come to me again. And I'm about to show you one last thought, and this might be the most beautiful thing I tell you tonight, because this point challenged my theology. But it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Resurrected Jesus came all the way to Galilee for a fisherman who was unworthy, uneducated, undeserving, and had denied him. And Jesus came all the way to Galilee. And he stopped on the sandy shore. Now listen, this is important. I'm talking to you tonight about the God who walked on water. I'm talking to you tonight about the God who calmed the raging seas. Jesus could have walked right out onto that water right next to Peter, but he didn't. He stopped on the shore. Jesus came 99% of the way, stopped and invited Peter to close the distance. Jesus came 99% of the way and stopped on the shore because he wanted Peter to respond and close the distance. Do you see what I'm showing you tonight? Jesus closed the distance in his relationship with you. You ran from him, but you couldn't run far enough. He came all the way to this moment tonight to chase you down, but he'll not come any further because now it's your turn to take that one step closer to him. Do you see it? He came to 99, but he asks of you to come one more step. You see, because the word of God demands a response from the people. You cannot be indifferent. It will either push you further from Christ or draw you closer to him. Jesus is here tonight. He's come all the way and he stopped on the shore and he's looking to every one of you tonight with arms wide open, inviting you to come take that one step, come back to me. If you're in this room tonight and you have never given your life to Jesus before, you have never publicly repented of your sin and given your life to Christ, tonight he stands with arms wide open. Take the step forward and receive him. Or maybe you're a person who started out right, but you have left his path for your own. He's coming back to you tonight with arms wide open saying, come back to me. And do you know what Peter's response was when he saw Jesus on the shore? He jumped out of that boat faster than you could even think twice, and he swam all the way to that sandy shore. And I know that he embraced Jesus Christ with a great and mighty hug with all of his strength, saying, thank you, Lord, for running me down. Thank you, Lord, for leaving the 99 to pursue that one. Tonight, I want you to pray with me right now.